the name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, first of all, before we get too deeply into today's show, I just want to put a tip of the hat and a thank you to Jared. I was just thinking about this the other day. Jared, our producer, engineer, whatever you want to call him here, runs the show. I was thinking back, I think in the 3.5 years or so, I don't know how many shows it is, maybe Jared, somebody could figure it up, 5 days a week for 3.5 years. Somebody could do the math on that real quick. Jared has not missed one show, hasn't missed a show. You get thinking about it, every one of us missed a show. I've missed a couple, I think. I don't know if I've ever missed one totally, but you know what I'm saying. And Jared has never missed one. Now I'm wondering, when does this guy take a day off? Maybe he gets to have some fun on the weekend, but man, no days off for Jared, up early every morning for the 3.5 over. Anybody have that number for me yet? Anybody calculate that thing out? How many that would be? 52 weeks, 5 days a week, 3.5 years, roughly. We ought to go back at some point and figure out what number of show this is. But I was just thinking about this morning, Jared, and I want to just acknowledge, man, how much we couldn't do what we do without you. Had a lot going, got a lot, always have a lot going on here at Coach Dave Live, and proud and happy and lucky that you guys are all a part of it. And we want to try to help promote everything that you're doing. Chad's got a big event coming up. Hey, Connor, let's go real quickly to the calendar, because I do want to make sure we got some things on. So I had a couple of emails today. People wanted to know if we were going to go to Branson, Steve Quayle's conferences in Branson this coming up weekend. And I had originally planned to go, but my plans, there's so much you got to do, because I wanted to go to Branson because that's our team out there. Kevin Van Story says 910 shows, give or take a few. That's a bunch of shows, isn't it? Jared hadn't missed one. And I want to go to Branson because that's our crowd. Those are woke Christians. Those are red pill Christians. And I wanted to go there just to be able to rub shoulders and make some contacts and all that. But just became important for me to go to Maine this weekend because of Sky High and what we're doing at Sky High. We're going to go look at another sky, a very similar thing that was done in Maine, talk to the guy who did it. So I flopped and changed my plans on that one. And there's only one me. It's hard for me to be in a lot of places. So I thank Mike and Paulie Heath for putting that together. And I don't know, Connor, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit behind you, man. We had the schedule up on the screen. Yeah, we do. So listen, folks, we're not expecting any of you to show up in Maine. Paulie and Mike, they've put together a group of people that are up there. If you'd like to come, you're welcome to. It's going to be a very short in and out. We're going to check out this ministry center up there, do a couple events and be out. But you see on the schedule, we got some stuff that is coming up. Chad has something coming up here on the, Ohio Salt and Light Brigade meeting, September 21st. Mike Blake's got that baby organized up and running for us. And then the following weekend, Chad's got a Salt and Light Brigade meeting down in Moody, Texas. Don't miss that one. And John Diamond, who's going to be on with us on Wednesday, the Faith and Freedom Conference in Pennsylvania. This stuff is all on our website, okay, folks? Mayberry Huddle with down North Carolina, down Barney Fife. I was going to say Barney Frank, but that wouldn't be very good. That's all on there, too, folks. So a place for you to be able to connect with us. A lot of details on how that huddle's going to go. And then we got the Bobby Lee's putting on the Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade Assembly on October 18th. You can see our schedule's crazy, right? I mean, it's crazy. And I try to get to as many of these things as I possibly can. And makes for a lot of traveling. And then the last one there is in the Rim Fire Conference is in, scoot over there for me, Connor. There you go, buddy. In Montana, that's put on by Rob Pugh and Leighton Howerton. So we're up and moving and doing a lot of great stuff, and just thankful for all of you out there to be able to support us and help us do what we try to do. My wife was gone this last weekend. That doesn't happen very often. And I sat around the house by myself. That's not true. I didn't sit around the house, but I got a little bit of a taste of what it's like when I'm gone. I just appreciate my wife so much more than that, that, you know, you got to run a house when daddy's off playing or grandpa's off working. She has to keep the house in order and just appreciate my wife. I want to say a couple things. I'm going to dig into it today. Tinfoil hat Monday. We'd always make one of those, but I couldn't avoid it today. Tinfoil hat Monday. You're going to be part of it. We're going to get into some good stuff. But I got Jared, first thing you can do, Connor, click on the thing that says Truth in History. Truth in History. This is Pastor Charles Jennings, who we've had on the show before, and I have to have him on the show again. Spoke to him this weekend. Pastor Jennings has been doing a satellite show for years and years and years, and he's not doing the satellite show. You can see over here on the right side all the different places that you can now pick up his show, Truth in History. And his latest, I should have brought it down with me, his latest, he sends out a little, every 3 months, every 4 months, he sends out a little newsletter, a short little magazine. And folks, I would suggest all of you go there and subscribe to that. He, man, I'm going to have him on and we're going to go back to that. Charles Jennings does a better job than anyone I know of explaining who the lost sheep of Israel are, who Israel is, who are God's chosen people. It's on the screen right now. Fabulous, fabulous website full of all kinds of information, site tools. So I just want to get a tip of the cap to Charles Jennings, who's I'm a great supporter of his, and he's a great supporter of ours. So God bless him. Cool. Hey, anybody want to jump in here? Any news over the weekend happen? Anything that we all need to be made aware of? Anything we can pray about? Anything like that? Anyone? Come on in if you want to, real quickly. If not, that's okay. I was thinking about this morning. I said that this is my parting words to my wife. You can get that off the screen now, Connor. In fact, Connor, get Psalm 2 ready, Connor. Psalm 2, please. I said to my wife today, as I was coming down there, how are we going to wake people up? How are we going to wake people up? And how many people do we know in America today who are going to churches where they're not hearing anything about what's really going on in America? Nothing. How do we reach them? How do I get to the point? Will I ever get to the point where I'm not considered a kook? My own family sometimes considers me a kook. They love that term, conspiracy theory. And yet I look around me, to me, putting the pieces together so absolutely, obviously apparent. I don't know. So I thought about Psalm 2 today. I want to read down through here because we've done it. You know, we go here a lot. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? If we were to imagine right now in America, if someone was going to overthrow America, if somebody was going to overthrow Christian America, if there was a real Satan, if Satan was very real, there was a devil, if there was Beelzebub, if there really was a fight between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, if there really was a cataclysmic unwinding of this society, of this world that's going to spin down and come to a screeching conclusion, what would it look like? What would be moving up to those times, what would it look like? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? What would it look like if the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers took counsel together against the Lord? Now, let's stop right there. This is scripture. This is scripture. This is not an imaginary thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his team. What would that look like? And if you go into church and you're part of any church, is your pastor telling you, explaining to you, showing you the things that are going on around you? and to say, look at this, and look at this, and look how the heathen are raging, and look how the kings of the earth are setting themselves, and the rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, against Christianity. Are we hearing this stuff in our churches, and how do we wake others up? How do we do it? How do we red pill them? How we get them to understand we're not crazy, we're not nuts? How? I get a lot of frustrations. That's one of my greatest ones right there. How do we do it? How do you reach those around you? Those who, well, anybody have a comment? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Here's what's on my heart today. I'm going to take it. Some of it, I'm going to give you permission right now to tune out right now if you want to. Tune out right now if you want to. Because this is, well, let me see which one I want you to pull up here. Hey, Connor, I know what I told you to do. I'm just going to change here real quick. I'm going to come back to something. I want you to pull up where it says Bradley Dean's site. I want you to pull that up for me, Connor. Sons of Liberty Media. I saw this weekend. This is September 6, 2019. Monumental University study says the fire did not bring down Tower 7 on 9/11. Now, I want you to stop right there. How long ago? See, I was going to do this show Wednesday. I was going to do a 9/11 show Wednesday, but I decided I was going to do it today because 9/11, 2001, 9/11, it's been 18 years. 18 years. It's taken 18 years to get a real honest investigation. 18 years. And what does this say? On September 11th, World Trade Center, blah, blah, blah. Despite calls for the evidence to be preserved, the New York City officials had the building's debris removed, destroyed. Remember that when the towers came down, they couldn't get rid of that stuff fast. That was a crime scene, and they couldn't get that stuff out of there fast enough, right? Remember that? We know what they all told us it was, right? That this 13 hijackers came in, they flew the planes into the towers, and boy, that fire got hot, and they pulled those great big things down, and wow, Building 7 fell. Wow, it was all just terrible. Well, they've now done a new study. It says, UAF research team utilized three approaches for examining the structural response of World Trade Tower Center to the condition that may have occurred on September 1st, 2001. And first, we simulated the local structures. Scroll up, Connor, please. Local structures response to fire loading. Right there. Hang on. Stay with me. First, we simulated the local structure response to fire loading that may have occurred below floor 13, where most of the fires in World Trade Center 7 are reported to have occurred. Second, we supplemented our own simulation by examining the collapse initiative by hypotheses developed by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. And third, we simulated a number of scenarios within the overall structural system in order to determine what type of local failures and their locations may have caused a total collapse to occur and to be observed. Okay, I'm not going to read down through the rest of it. You can do it yourself. They came to the conclusion that there is absolutely no way that those fires could have brought down any of those buildings, specifically Building 7. Now, hang on a minute. What are the consequences of that in your mind right now? If we know beyond a shadow of a doubt those buildings did not come down the way they told us they did, what should be the response in the Christian world? Somebody come in here. Somebody come in here. I don't want to be the only kook. They tell us it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. What does that mean? Well, it means the kings of this earth have told us a different story. Something that's not true. Why did they tell us something that's not true? And why are we 18 years later and still are not being able to find the truth? Anybody know that?
Hey, Coach.
I feel like I'm a lone ranger here today. Yeah, come on in there.
I talked about this with the pastor of my church some months ago. It came up in conversation. He saw 9/11 was an inside job bumper sticker on a car, and he says something to the effect, well, I don't really believe in conspiracy theories, but the only conspiracy theory I do believe is that Satan is at work in the world.
That's what he said?
Yep.
Doesn't believe. So he doesn't believe that the devil would conspire. Is that what? Is that what we're hearing?
He doesn't believe that the devil has his hands and feet in the world doing his bidding, much as the Lord uses us Christians to do his work.
Okay, cool. So here's what I think. Connor, bring up the video from Connor Conlon. Bring the video up, folks. Here's what I think's going on in the American church. Here's what I think it is. Don't remember, or don't forget, the theme, what I said at the beginning. Why can't we wake people up? What's going on that we cannot awaken people? I don't know. Connor Conlon, who is the, Carter Conlon, I'm sorry. Carter Conlon, who is the pastor at Times Square Church, made this video briefly after 9/11. And I want you to listen to the message, okay? Go ahead, Jared. I play the conga. Play this.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, "Run for your life!" at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, "God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in a falling tower." We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, "Run for your life." Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!
That's it, Connor. Run, folks. See, that's that's where we are in the American church. How else can you explain that? Did you understand the magnitude of 9-1-1 not really happening the way it happened? Do you understand them? Do you understand the magnitude of that? Does anybody understand the magnitude of that? Hey, Coach, what are you showing? What, Jared? Hey, do me this. Go to Mueller and 9-1-1. By the way, I want to give a big thank you to Michael at Before It's News, beforeitsnews.com, a website who stream us daily, every day. And they're streaming us into sometimes in a not friendly environment, if you know what I'm talking about. The delusion and the deception in America is so, so great. Israel's watchmen are blind, Isaiah 56. I just felt the Holy Spirit. Connor, I got you jumping all over the place. I'm sorry. Isaiah 56, please. Go to Isaiah 56. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Because the kings of this world take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. And the church doesn't even recognize it. The church calls it political. The church doesn't even understand the times in which we live. They preach about end times, but they don't understand the end times. They don't get what's going on. Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. When's the last time you ever walked into a church and heard a pastor even mention the fact that maybe 9-1-1 wasn't real? Can you imagine going into a church and bringing that subject up? Is it pertinent or not? Is it something we ought to be talking about? Or do we just get in the rapture bus and say, well, I'm just going to get to know that our government lied to us for 18 years. We know when we look at it with our own eyes, that couldn't possibly have happened. We know it couldn't have happened that way. And now we have proof that it didn't happen that way. Will your pastor ever talk about that? No, because his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs, meaning unable to speak, deaf and dumb, unable to speak. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own quarter. Come, they say, oh, we'll get wine, and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow will be even better. We'll be prosperous, and just if you give me 1,000, you'll get 10,000. That's what the church has become. We know right now that the deep state has lied to us about 9-1-1. And has no one in the American government brought it up and tries to push back against it. No one. And if you bring it up and I bring it up right now, some of you laughing, ha, ha, ha. People at, what's the name of that website? Kyle and that left wing, it doesn't matter. They're laughing. Okay, hang on. You really want to laugh? Go to Mueller 911. Robert Mueller. You remember that name? Everybody remember that name? How about this? Look at this picture. There's old Bobby Mueller. Deep state. Scroll down, Connor. There he is. Why, there he is with Brennan and Clapper having a grand old time. Ha, good old boys. Yeah. Let's get Mueller in to investigate, right? Yeah, let's get him in to investigate. Did you know that look at this. In October of 2001, Mueller shut down the government's investigation after only 3 weeks. The government quit investigating 9-1-1 after 3 weeks. And and any letting the Saudis off the hook came from the White House. In other words, he got an order from the Bush administration, take it easy on the Saudis. They flew the Saudis out of the country. Go ahead and read this at Zero Hedge. I'm not going to take you all down through this. Mueller deep sixed what evidence his agents did manage to uncover. So the agents were out on the street. They were doing research. They were finding stuff in Mueller. You remember him, don't you? Hanging out with Brennan and Clapper. Mueller's at the middle of it. I'm not going to take time to read all this. Well, yeah, maybe I should. Time and time again, agents were called off from pursuing the leads back to Saudi Arabia, as well as consulates in Los Angeles, where FBI agent Stephen Moore headed a 911 task force looking into local contacts made by two of the 15 hijackers. In Washington, former ABA John Guandalo, who worked terror cases out of the Bureau of D.C., said then Saudi Ambassador Peter Bandar should have been treated as a terrorist suspect for giving money to a woman. On and on and on. Evidence brought to Mueller, and he deep-sixed it 18 years ago. What does that say? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of this earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. See, there's a demonic war going on in America, and not one pastor and 1,000 even understands it. And you wonder why we can't wake people up. They go to church on Sunday and they get smooth. They get inoculated. Let's do this one. Jared, I'm sorry, Connor. I'm gonna let you in here in a minute. I'm about up to my eyeballs. I'm about half. They lied to us about Kennedy. You know they did. Does anybody believe that? No, nobody believes that. They lied to us about it. Now we know they lied to us about 911. They didn't want to know what happened in 911. That's 18 years ago. Should that bother us? Should our pastors preach about that? Or is that mixing politics with religion? Did you pull it up there, Connor? I'm in here for him this morning. I'm so lit up this morning, I can't even tell you. I'm not lit up at what the devil's doing. I'm lit up that our people. Did you find that, Jared Mueller 911? No, I'm sorry. 79 false flags. Did you find that? Here it is. I'm not going to take time to read down through it. Okay, I'm just not going to do it. But scroll on down here. 79 proven false flags done by. There's one. Japanese troops set off a small explosion on a train track in 1931. Go on down. Major with the Nazis admitted at the Nuremberg trials that under orders from the Gestapo, he and others operated fake several attacks. Dubbin, go on down, Con. Just keeps going down. 79 of them. Three. There's the minutes of a high command of the Italian government, some approved by Mussolini, admitted that violence on the Greek government order was carried out by the, they did it themselves. Four. Go on down. There's 79 proven. Proven government staged false flags. Just scroll on down. I'm not going to read them all. I want people to see what they'll see there. We are being lured to sleep. 79. Keep going. Keep on. They break down some of these and tell you what's going on. There's number 9. There's number 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22. And then they talk about one and there's 23 and there's 24 and 25, 27. Proven false flags by government. Proven. Gone. Yeah, gone. And now what are they doing? There's 53, there's 61, there's 67, there's 73, there's 74. That didn't even include the ones that we're not talking about. Think that'd be worth a notice to your pastor? Think your pastor might want to talk about some of this stuff? You think it might be important to show our people what the devil's team has been doing? Do you think, how can we possibly combat and fight back against the devil's team if we don't even know they exist and don't even know what they're doing? Put that picture up again of Mueller and Brennan and Slapper. And you tell me what in the heck? Yeah. Somebody come on in. I don't even know what to say. If you don't have anything to say, I don't even know what to say.
I had to go grab my aluminum hat, Coach, right quick.
Yeah, they tied to the aluminum hat, right? All the evidence is right there. Hey, Clapper and Brennan, they weren't friends. No, they weren't buddies. They weren't buddies, were they? Huh?
Don't forget to convert it to a hobbyism, Coach.
Say it again. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a Muslim. Brennan's a Muslim. Your pastor talking about that? Is your pastor talking about demonic infiltration into the church, demonic infiltration into the government, demonic infiltration into the schools? And I sit here every day and do everything I can to try to wake people up, and all they do is laugh. What are the consequences of 9-1-1? As you sit here right now,
what are the consequences of 9-1-1 are felt by every single person on this, in this huddle, every single person in this country, every single day of their lives, every single day.
Hey, Jack, what started all this illegal surveillance upon all of us? Do you know what that was?
The Anti-Patriot Act.
Uh-huh, the Patriot Act, right after 9-1-1. Now, if you want to talk... Go ahead.
You think that Bush and company wrote that Anti-Patriot Act in 48 hours?
They had it ready, man. They had it ready.
For Oklahoma City, they had it ready because Joe Biden was one of the authors.
Folks, this is so wicked. This is so wicked. Now, we can go back in our cocoons and hide and act like this stuff isn't going on. Or we can do what the Bible tells us to do, to test the spirits and look and see what's going on around us and understand that if the end of the world is coming, what it's going to look like. And if you think that Christians and Christianity in the condition we are, you think we're safe and our Christian children, our Christian grandchildren are going to be safe. Hey, dude, you better shake your head. Your eyes are stuck. Instead of going into Joel Happy Osteen's playing Slappy Happy, we are at war. We don't even get it. We don't even know these false flags, these shootings. You really believe that? I mean, looking at the evidence, I don't have any knowledge. But looking at that evidence and knowing if the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, you believe these shootings are random? You really believe? You really think? What would the government do if you didn't have weapons? Oh, well, Coach, they wouldn't do that. Really? Really, they wouldn't, huh? Come on in. I feel like I'm alone here today.
You're not alone, Coach.
No.
It's me and you, Jack, that's all.
Oh, no. Oh, sir. No, sir. There's an army of us out there.
You're not alone, Coach.
I'm ready, Coach. You're not alone.
And you're waking people up. These guys in this huddle are waking people up every day. There is an army rising. We just have to learn how to really be an army, be organized, be strategizing, because we're a bunch of really good Boy Scouts going after mercenaries. These mercenaries are absolutely ruthless without a conscience, and a bunch of great Boy Scouts are going after them. We better harden up, I'm telling you.
Jared, can you pull up last week's commentary for me? I don't think I ever read it, and it's appropriate right now. Somebody else, come on in. See, this is scary stuff, and I wish it wasn't scary stuff, but we know this. The Bible tells us that the men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. Are we prepared for that? Do we all think we're going to be raptured out of here before this stuff shows up? Is that what we think? Is that what we think? Is that what you're being taught in your church? That things are going to get really, 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 really scary and really, really bad? Are we supposed to fight back against it?
Yeah, Coach.
Perilous times are upon us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at church yesterday, and I asked the young men and men about their come with me to preach at an antique fair. And all of them gave me a deer in the headlight look. They had no clue, scared to death kind of expression. And another thing, when I went preach there that day, I got hit several times. And this guy, a 70-year-old man in a burnt Dodge Ram, tried to run me over right there on the sidewalk. He blew up to me, right against me. And he just honked his dang horn, but he came 6 inches away from my leg.
I'm sure the church is praying for you, Jeff. Here's my commentary from last week. I used to love what it's called Perilous. They changed the title. The original title was What Do the White Hats Know? I used to love watching the old Westerns on TV. That was long before political correctness had taken root in America. In fact, that was so long ago that there was actually a thing called right and wrong. There still is today, right and wrong, but there's no longer a common standard by which right and wrong can be determined. We live in a day when, as the Bible warned us, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Does it bother you right now that your congressman probably knows the truth about 911? Oprah warned us of this, that she slowly metastasized the cancer of tolerance and diversity as one of the new virtues that the multi-headed Hydra monster God was in favor of. So they just throw that term out there, God. God has become a universal generic term by which all deities are now identified. The American motto of "In God We Trust" becomes meaningless unless we ask the simple question, which God? That's pretty important, isn't it? You don't say to somebody, hey, go down in that building and get me my shovel. Which building? Which building? God, 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 which God? There was a time in America when that term had universal acknowledgement. Yahweh, Jehovah, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ were all common names used to identify the God who is ruling over America. Trees, nature, and self are poor substitutes for the God of the Bible. The first commandment acknowledges the existence of other gods and specifically states that no other gods will be tolerated. We used to teach that in our schools. In God we trust, referred to Christ, the Christian God. But thanks to Oprah and the National Education Association, it's no longer the case in America. As Oprah's Daily Show subtly suggested, we all need to seek our own truth. The only problem is there's no such thing as individual truth. There's only universal truth, and it's encapsulated in the God-man, Jesus Christ. Something is not true simply because you believe it. And it certainly is not false simply because you don't believe it. Jesus Christ, American school children were once taught, is the embodiment of all truth. Jesus was the standard taught for nearly 350 years in public schools. And as a result, most Americans no longer share a common set of values or morals. In America today, the standard is that there is no standard. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Everyone is living out their truth. Oprah's chickens have come home to roost. But it's deeper than that. The changing of the guard has been chaotic. Remnants of Christian America are in a life and death struggle with secular America. I'm going to read that again just for your pastor. The changing of the guard has been chaotic. The remnant of Christian America are in a life and death struggle with secular America. Psalm 2. We've evolved from the days of Matt Dillon and Hoss Cartwright, when right and wrong were plainly obvious and as transparent as the color of a man's cowboy hat. Gray hats, they're much more common today. A gray hat makes it easier to disguise oneself. Right and wrong are no longer so easily and universally identified. By the way, I don't wear a gray hat. But let's talk about the changing of the guard. Like so many of you, I've ground my teeth over the current situation in our government. In my frustration, I've called out to the Lord and asked, are there no white hats anymore, Lord? Is everyone in government corrupt? It can't possibly be. One of my friends, Chad, dropped this into my spirit the other day, and it brought me a sense of clarity. Folks, this is not a word from the Lord, okay? But it's worthy of considering nonetheless. There certainly are still white hats in the government, and I believe that they are working diligently within a corrupted system. But they know something that you and I do not. They know how deep and dark the swamp is. Brennan, Clapper, and the other dude. They know the evil that looks behind the tailor-made blue suits and red neckties. And they understand the depth of depravity to which the dark hats will sink. Hey, folks, they'll fly planes into towers and blow them up probably with nuclear weapons, probably nuclear weapons used in 911. They'll kill 2,700 and whatever number of people and won't bat an eye. Won't bat an eye. You see, the white hats love people and they love America. But they understand better than most of us that black hats do not love people. Don't love America. Black hats love money and power and prestige more than they care about people. The white hats know that if they move too quickly, that the black hats are going to move in such a way that many Americans' lives will be lost. And their love for people, the white hats have to move cautiously in an attempt to limit the human carnage from the dark hearts of those dark hats. Folks, there's some dark hats, hearts, man. Some dark hats we're dealing with. Has your pastor talked about that lately? Wasn't it Barry Sotero who called for a civilian security force? Just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded. Watch his words here. Go ahead and click on that real quick, Connor. Click on watch his words here. Click on that link and watch what Barry Sotero says. Watch now. Watch.
Continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Look at those guys in the background clapping. Look at those idiots in the background clapping. Huh? They got an army. It's called Antifa. They got one. Go back to the commentary. Boys, I'm feeling this today. I'm sorry if you're not liking it. I'm getting it off my chest. That should have sent shivers down your spine. Well, if the dark hats have built that force, what if they are silently lurking in the background, waiting to be unleashed on the American people? What if a perp walk of Hillary or Obama triggered the release of this Antifa-like army into the streets of America? What if all of them showed up at the mall one time and started firing? What if those who were constantly accusing the right of being violent were poised to unleash hell down Main Street America? Why are they after your guns? What if they eliminated your ability to protect your family? These are the same people who have no qualms about murdering unborn babies. Come on, folks. The scripts tell us that all those who hate me love death. Wake up, my friends. The black hats hate God, and they hate you. They are embedded throughout the government. What if Muslim Obama stacked the deck? What if he silently built his army? How will they respond if Trump wins? How will they respond if Trump doesn't win? Turn to Jesus. Trouble's coming. Perilous times are upon this nation. I left the M out of that. Do the white hats know something that the rest of us do not? Bible tells us my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you traipse off to church every Sunday to get some pablum from some guy who either doesn't know the truth or won't tell you the truth. Either one's inexcusable. Come on in here, somebody rescue me. I feel this so deep, I can't even explain it. What if? Yes, Roger.
Oh, I don't have any profound words to say other than I hear you and I agree. I wish I had some wonderful words to calm our spirit, but you're speaking so much truth. There's not a whole lot else to say. I wish I had something more to help. But our government is not to be trusted. And I wish I had more to say than that.
Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. Pull that picture back up there again.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead. Hang on just a second. Pull that picture up there again. And you tell me, is there a deep state? Think there's a deep state? Huh? Go ahead, somebody, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, our government is the people we elect. And what a bad commentary it is that the people we elect are not to be trusted. Well, then why did we elect
them? And continue to elect them, Larry. Continue. Dale, come on in. I think it was you, Dale. Or whoever. I thought it was Dale. Maybe it was
two quick points. I know up here in Syracuse, New York, maybe a couple of people that I could talk to, fellow Christians, that would somewhat know what to do in the event there was an all-out lockdown in this country because of a false flag attack, another false flag attack. And secondly, what's very disturbing is when a pastor or even just any Christian knows their Bible, they may even preach chapter and verse in church, and yet these items, what we're talking about today, don't get discussed.
It is something. It is, Gary.
And we got these same guys right now that are doing their dangest to take down Donald Trump.
That's right.
And they've got the American public convinced that they are good guys when they are so evil.
And we don't even care, Kevin. We don't even care. Why would a pastor not discuss this?
Because it's political. Pastors do not want to talk politics.
But you would agree this isn't politics, right? This isn't politics.
This isn't politics. This is right or wrong. This is dark and light.
This is Psalm 2.
And most pastors don't want to even talk about abortion, and they consider that to be a political item.
Yeah, amen.
The really sad part is it is not the government that has told and taught the pastors not to talk about it. It is the higher up church leaders that have brought that mindset into that calls itself the church.
Larry, I was going to go there today. The Southern Baptist Church has gone over the deep edge. I'm not even going to go there. But see, they've been infiltrated, right? Folks, they've been infiltrated. Evil men crept in. In other words, go to Jude. Pull up Jude. I'm sorry if you feel like I'm talking politics today and that we're not reading enough of the Bible. I'm sorry about that. But if you cannot make the connection between what's happening here and what's happening in the Bible, God help you. I don't even know what are you doing? What are you reading? What are you reading? Jude, book of Jude. Go to Jude. This is right out of the Bible, my friends. Right out of the Bible, the book of Jude. One chapter. Beloved, when I came unto you, give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the... Why would you have to contend for the faith? Does that mean you just have to contend for your belief? That you're just in a life and death struggle for your ability to believe Jesus? Is that what this means? What? Exhort you, earnestly contend for... Hang on to your faith, brother. Oh, it's a fight to the end. Hang on. Is that what this is? Is that what he's saying? You're smarter than that. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Who? Certain men. Psalm 2 men. Who were before of old ordained to this job. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, once and for all, I might add. How do we open doors? How do we open eyes?
Coach, you know, contention is activity. I mean, when you contend something, you are fighting hard for it or against it, or you are fighting hard. Sure. Faith is action. Contend for the faith is take whatever action is necessary to be able to keep on acting and keep on thinking.
Amen.
You don't step back and go into a bunker and wait for a rapture.
So Larry, it was when Paul said, I have kept the faith, is that 2 Timothy? Go to 2 Timothy 4 real quick, Connor. 2 Timothy 4. Because we got to nail this one down. We got to nail this one down, folks. We got some work to do with Christians. We got some hard work to do with believers. Some hard work to do with them. With believers, not the lost. Oh, preach the word. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they ain't going to hear it. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Go all the way down. Verse 7 is where I'm heading. As Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hey, boys, he doesn't mean I was able to make it all the way through being saved. He's a beekeeper. He kept the faith. He protected the faith. He protected the truth. I have protected the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have protected the faith. Not his faith, the faith, the belief system that we're all trying to live under here. He said, because I laid up a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge is going to give me at that day, not to me only, but to all those also that love his appearing. Anybody, I'm out of words right now.
Hey, Coach, I got some good news to what happened yesterday. As after the cops showed up and the wicked people scattered like rats, I said, can I leave now? And he said, yes, you can. So I was walking away, and this young lady comes over. I was walking towards my vehicle. She goes, sir, can I speak with you? And I turn around, and she says, she's in like her mid-30s. She says, thank you. It's great that you were able to do what you did. I appreciate that. I said, we're wonderful. Thank you. And I said, I'd like to give you my card so we can contact you. She said, oh, no. Do you live in Fallon? Do you live in Nevada? Yes. Back here. She says, no, thank you. And that's the shocking part is people have this identified, thank you, but then they don't want to get involved.
They've been told not to, Jeff. They've been told not to. Jared, real quick, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to walk on you, Jeff. It says new vid down at the bottom, new vid. I want to kind of end the show today, be thinking about a horrible day 9-1-1. It's always stuck on it. It's 18. I wonder, we got people living today, don't even remember. This is newly released video. Strange new World Trade Center video. Hey, listen, I want you to speed this up. I want you to double time this video if you can, Connor, because we forget. And I want you to watch specific things. I want you to think about the fire that broke out in that Trade Center. Clear up how many stories, 80-some stories, breaks out. And I want you to look at the vehicles on the ground, how they are incinerated. You tell me what's going on here. Go ahead, Connor. This is a double speed. You can turn the sound off. But there isn't really much sound. Let's remember. Put the sound up. Stop that. Go back, Connor. Folks, those are fires in World Trade Center 7. It was not struck by a plane. Go ahead. Stop a minute. Folks, how does a fire truck get incinerated like that? How does that happen? Go ahead.
Directed energy weapon.
go to the 6 minute mark and slow it down, speed it up, make it normal, Connor. 6 minute, right there. Go back a little bit. I want you to hear this guy. Make it normal speed.
Ready? Whenever you're ready. 3, 2, 1. We are in an abandoned skyscraper, and quite frankly, I don't even know where I'm at. I see a sign outside that just gives me a reference of Barclay Street. As you can see all around here, the windows have been blown completely out. And as we take a walk towards the front of the building here, you want to take a look outside. If you have never been to war, like I have never been to war, then this is what it looks like. We don't know what that building is. We don't know where this building is, but they're obviously on fire. Maybe in there's a chance that they could collapse. I've been on this earth for 37 years. I've never been to a war, but I can only imagine that this is as close as I've ever come.
Okay, Connor, you can stop. Jared will put this video in the link. It's newly discovered. Got this at beforeitsnews.com, by the way. And, you know, we know now, folks. We know now. The gig's up. The gig's up. The architects for 911 Truth have been telling this for 18 years that this is all a fraud. Well, they don't know what happened, but what they tell us happened couldn't have happened, they tell us. And here we are 18 years later with another legitimate investigation. They tell us it could not have happened this way. And I don't know if we understand the consequences of it. Help me wrap it up here. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to show you what it is that the metastasizing of that beast that we call government controlled by the dark side. That's what we're dealing with in America. And our churches won't even talk about it. Come on, somebody help me wrap it up.
We need to stay focused on being led by the Spirit.
Meaning what?
Well, the Bible says that when Jesus rose to be with God, he brought down the Comforter, and the Comforter was to guide us into all truth. And I think, you know, we need to follow, we need to seek out the Holy Spirit to guide us through this truth of all this delusion and all these lies, even the pastor twisting the scriptures, for us to know when we hear the scriptures correctly and to discern those scriptures and to rightly divide the scriptures so we can stay sober-minded and not drunk.
Rich, we have to speak to our friends the truth.
Yes.
We have to tell them the truth. We can't worry about being called conspiracy theorists.
Right.
We got to tell them the truth. Robert, come on in.
Coach, this is Glenn.
Glenn,
you're absolutely right. We need to continue to speak the truth to our friends. And the best way that I found to do it is to send out these shows that we do. All right. So if you have 50, 60, 70 people on your list that you have contact with, send the show out. Just send it out. And that way they're at least getting information that they're not hearing in church. And then they can weigh it. Maybe it will wake some of them up.
It's amazing. Because here's the thing. I believe, I'm concerned, there's something worse than this coming. And we still don't get it.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
You go back to Waco. Yep. That was a test to see if Christians would resist. We allowed them to massacre a religious sect.
A church.
The church. We allowed them to massacre a church. And they know that the church is impotent.
Folks, listen, it ain't about tinfoil hats. If you look at this and you believe this is tinfoil hat, God help you. I don't even know what to tell you. Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free, if you're willing to admit it and do something about it. With some truth before us today. Man, God help us spread it. Lord, help us to spread it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.